Let us pray. Loving God, anoint us with your Holy Spirit as we hear your word this day. Fill us with your truth that we may walk in the ways of God and to the glory of your realm. Amen. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. I invite you to listen for the word of God. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord.
A reading now from Paul's letter to the Romans. And I invite you to continue to listen for the word of God. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. When Pastor Taylor went on parental leave to await and then give birth to little Annabelle, the session thought, we better take care of this old man. And from time to time, we need to give him a break. So over the past couple of months, I have had the good fortune of sharing the pulpit with elders of the church who have done a marvelous job of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, it's a particular pleasure for me to share this pulpit with the love of my life and my life partner, Cindy, who said, here I am, send me, when the call went out for someone to come and share the word of God. So, Cindy, here you go. Thank you.
Good morning. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. There is a cartoon by Charles Schulz in which Lucy shares a tender moment with Charlie Brown. Lucy has a daisy, and she's picking the petals off the daisy. You love me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Until she gets to the last petal, and she, with such joy, exclaims to Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown, you love me. You love me, Charlie Brown. And Charlie Brown says to her, well, Lucy, I could have told you that. And Lucy replies, well, why didn't you, Charlie Brown? Why didn't you? I think about the Charlie Browns in our life, and I wonder, why didn't I? Why don't you? I believe this is one of the greatest tragedies of our lives as human creatures, is that we miss so many, many opportunities to share love, to share feeling, to share goodness and affirmation with one another. We need to give proper response to people. We need to see goodness in our lives, and sometimes that takes the form of a mirror, a reflection for ourselves and of ourselves. And most of the time, it just takes listening. I've been excited about speaking with you all today. I know I do a lot of talking, sharing at WOW and other special things, but this is the first church that I had not been asked to preach. Not necessarily a brood of viper moment for me, but it's a sharing of God's presence in my life that, as my church family, I want you to know, I want you to share, and I want to share it with you. I preached often at our church in Geneseo, New York, as I was a director of a non-for-profit comfort care home, and would preach in various churches all over the county to share the story of Teresa House in order to raise money, and most important, how my faith and my relationship with God grew and sustained me so that I would be able to sustain my patients during this difficult process, and I could sustain their families and decrease their angst during this beautiful moment from being birthed from one life to the next. It was important for me to share the gift that God had given me, the blessing that He had given me as He called me to do this work in this place. At our home church, I was asked to preach whenever Francois went away. You know, he went to the cabin then too. And it always gave me an opportunity to periodically check in with them and let them know that I had not gone astray. In Texas, I was part of a group of women who researched, played, staged, and traveled literally all over Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, presenting women of the Bibles whose stories had been written by men, of course, and we felt that the women had been terribly, terribly misrepresented. The group, the sinful sisters and fallen floozies of the Bible. People loved us. I played Bathsheba, who would compare her husband Uriah as like being married to a Presbyterian minister. We were truly a traveling salvation show. My life and my journey in faith to many that I was invited to in various churches after they had seen the play that we did. I would go into the churches and I would hear whispers, oh, look, I think that's Bathsheba. He loves me. He loves me not. My daddy was a journalist. Besides working at a paper, he wrote other people's biographies. We were talking one evening about life, and I said to him, Daddy, do you think my life is book worthy? And he said, Cindy Ann, your life will be a collection of short stories. I was offended, but he was right. My daddy, like my God, knew that I had only just begun to experience what life would have in store for me. He loves me. He loves me not. So, here I am today. My time to share with something of who I am and where I have been to get to this moment. Not a novel by any means, but a few short stories. I was raised in the church. Wherever we moved, which was often in my young life, the first thing my mother would do was to find a church to call home. I was baptized in the Methodist Church, and when I was 9, we were a part of a new church development at the Presbyterian Church in Memphis. I sang in the choir at age 10. I played the Virgin Mary in the Christmas pageant until I wasn't. When I married, I moved away, and that was just as natural thing for me to do for myself with my children, was to find a community of faith, as I have always known that the community of faith was the foundation of who I was. I have a picture in my dining room that hung in my great-grandmother's dining room, that hung in my grandmother's house, that reflected in a mirror, which I refer to it as the magic mirror, that could be read anywhere you stood in her house. It says, "All things work together for good to them that love God." When she died, it was all I wanted. It was her legacy to me, a constant reminder. He loves me. He loves me not. My teen years were spent causing great distress to my parents, my daddy in particular, as I was always fighting for something. I lived in Memphis, and I had no trouble finding something to protest. I protested civil rights. I protested women's rights. I protested for women's rights. I protested against the Vietnam War, even though my brother and my cousins were fighting in it. If the society in which I lived had any kind of underdog, you could bet I was there, much to everybody's chagrin. But I was taught, and I believe, that the gospel of Jesus about caring for the poor and the disenfranchised was true and right, and it was my responsibility to take care of my brothers and sisters, no matter what color of skin they had, no matter who, no matter what. It was my responsibility. I was a good student. I was a cheerleader, much to Francois' chagrin. I was a majorette by day, and I was a hippie chick with flowers in my hair while I thought my parents weren't looking. But they always were. I was raised in a home that you said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. There was no arguing or fighting. When my daddy said no, it was no. And when you tried to get around that, you were caught, and there were consequences. I learned that truth of my earthly father and my heavenly father. There are consequences. I was married 1 month to the day that I graduated from high school. I know some of you sort of go like that, but there's some of you that know that that's sort of what you did, and in the South particularly. I mean, there wasn't a lot of money to spend on educating a girl, especially when she wasn't really sure what she was doing, and there wasn't a whole lot of money in protesting. And I was determined not only to change the world around me, but by this time in my life, I felt I needed to change the world in which I had grown up in watching my parents. I was a hippie chick with tenderness in my heart, along with the flowers in my hair. And I had determination and confidence that I could change what was going on around me that was not good. Not only on the outside of my front door, but on the inside of my front door. Well, that did not work out so well for me. After 15 years, two children, tons of counseling, broken bones and rivers of tears and very poor choices, I was running one morning and a passage of Matthew came to mind. And when I returned home, I looked up the passage and it said, "A house divided will not stand." I took this as a sign and a blessing from God at this time in my life that I had done everything I could to make my marriage and my life work, and it was time for me to save myself in order to save Sean and Heather from believing that this is the way that married people lived. He loves me. He loves me not. We lived in Western Pennsylvania, so I packed up two preteen kids and the little we had up and moved back to Memphis. I enrolled in nursing school and worked as many as three jobs at a time, studying while I watched baseball. I graduated from college the day after Sean graduated from high school. Along the way, I met this amazing man who was broken just like me. And after a few years of piecing each other together again, I would marry him under the pretense that he would always be a Navy chaplain and I would always fit in with the sailors and I would never, ever have to worry about meeting the standards of being that was always expected of being a pastor's wife. That was 34 years ago. And look at me standing here. He loves me. He loves me not. Francois has loved me, not and all. I'd like to think that my life story so far has been like a tapestry, an image that God has taken the fact. I like to imagine that God has taken the fabric of my life and continues to create a unique design with beautiful colored threads woven in and out by the artists of my life, of which all of you are now. Blues, yellows, pinks, violets for my joy, of which there has been so, so much. Browns and grays and greens that have been the pain from which I did not think I could ever recover. Greens, silvers, blues for my growth and my wisdom that I believed I could never achieve. Grays, black, purples, red for my fears of which dominate me even now. Bold and bright hues, life used for my healing, my passion, and the wild side that through grace has never seemed to have faded over time, despite the years. But like so many pieces of art, the tapestry of my life has had to be reworked, so to speak. Many, many times, I believe God's love for me has had to deal with a lot of puckers, and a lot of threads that were too long when there were signs of hope for me, and much too short when plans didn't quite work out. Threads that were chosen for one purpose, then life circumstances or poor decisions took me in a different direction, so another thread was used instead. All of this creating a stringy, knotty mess, which is sort of like the sock that I showed the kids this morning. I would look at that sign and I would think, my goodness, how can this be fixed? How can this time in my life be fixed that I made the wrong decisions, that I took the wrong path? How can I fix this? This doesn't look like anything I imagined my life would look. What a disappointment I must be to my God and to my family and to myself. And each time throughout my life that I've looked at that mess and felt that mess and lived that mess, God has touched me gently and turned the canvas over, and he's whispered in my ear, "Oh, Cindy Ann, this is your side. This is a side your life has created. A unique pattern of beauty, a picture not yet completed, of a life lived in hope and joy and pain and sorrow. And all those threads coming together continue to create the tapestry of your life. Because, Cindy, I am not done with you. He loves me. He loves me not. And he tells me every single day." Each one of you has your own work of art going on. I see it. I live it. And I want to tell you that you all are all so loved beyond measure, beyond mess, beyond every moment, every stroke of the brush, every note of a song, every thread of your life, every petal of your daisy. You don't ever have to say, "Well, you could have told me that." Because I am telling you that, my friends. And most important, God tells you every day, "Behold how good. Behold how wonderful each and every one of you are to me, and how wonderful you are to each other. I love you. I need you to love one another just like that. I need you to listen because I am with you always, even in your mess." Amen. 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 Amen.